Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
You can do better than that. Give God some love.
Oh, praise God. Well, the important thing we're here today is to hear the word of God and to honor all mothers through their lives of love and sacrifice who have blessed us. And today we do want to honor moms, and we want to appreciate and actually even understand more God's original design, not just for mothers, but for women. And so, you know, some of you are not moms yet and you say, this doesn't apply to me, but you are a woman and I want to honor and bless you today. So the best way that we can learn, you know, about God's original design is to go back to the book of beginnings. You know, Genesis actually means origins or beginning, and that's where you find so many amazing things. So let's take a look at that today. In the book of Genesis, we're going to look at original creation. I love this subject. I love talking about it. And Genesis 1, 26 through 28. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, of the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. I pause to say, God gave you dominion over creeps. So that is important. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him, male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth. Wow, that was the original design, right? And when we see that, we see that God created both man and woman equally in the image of God. So I want, you know, to just share and lay that foundation. That's so important to build on that, that God has a special dwelling place in the heart through men and women. And through them, plural, he intended to manifest his character and his authority over dominion on the earth. And I want you to just know that women were not an afterthought, right? It wasn't like, okay, no, women were part of the original design. So important. So let's go ahead and look then, Genesis 2, 7 through 9. We're going to break it down a little bit farther. You know, it's kind of like the big picture, and then we're going to go a small picture here. So where the creation actually took place. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground. Now that word formed, it's yatzer in Hebrew. And that's important to see that. Now, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life or the spirit of life, and he became a living being. And the Lord planted a garden eastward in Eden and put man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden and the tree of good and knowledge. Okay, so we're taking a look at here. Now, it's so interesting that word formed. God put him together. And it says he literally created him from the dust. Did you know that people, humans, are made up of basically 13 elements? And all those elements are actually found in the ground, in the dirt, in the crust. Isn't that something? So literally, when God says he formed him out of the dust, it's true. The same components in us are found in the ground. So that's amazing. And not only that, but the four major elements, oxygen, carbon, hydrogen, and nitrogen, make up 96% of the body's mass, make up 96% of the earth's crust. Same proportions. Isn't that interesting? So anyway, I think that's really cool how it really validates the Bible. So Adam's primary purpose at creation was to rule over creation and tend the garden. And it's so interesting too, this garden was beautiful, Eden, a flourishing place. Eden actually means delight. And the garden, however, even as beautiful it was paradise, it was not complete without woman. In Genesis 2, 15 through 18, it says this, then the Lord took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord said, in verse 18, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So all that God created, said he said it was good, but the one thing he said was not good was that man was not to be alone. And so let's take a look at this, the Genesis 2, 21 through 22. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made or fashioned into a woman and brought her to man. So again, I said, this is the book of origins. This is the book of beginnings. And I think that totally explains why men love ribs. Right there in scripture, come on. And the other thing is that, you know what? The word for how he made woman is different than how he made man. Man, here's how I imagine it. Kind of like a mud pie, right? But the word for how he made woman is he fashioned her. Again, book of origins, women love fashion. It's all right there. Book of Genesis. We have a biblical basis for this. So anyway, this was God's original plan. And today we're going to talk about women's hearts, that women's hearts are actually a place where God wants to cultivate his garden of blessing. Now, I have always loved flowers, and recently I've been doing a lot of gardening. I got really sunburned and everything. My birthday present from Daniel was gardening. And you see, we bought a home, and the home was unoccupied for about 2 years. And so the previous owner passed away, and so the yard was like probably this tall in weeds. It was horrible. You don't have to plant weeds. They just grow very naturally. And all the things that are supposed to be in that were good were stunted, like roses and things like that. So I said, Daniel, I just, for my birthday, I want to take dominion over our yard. It's driving me crazy. We got to take dominion of this weeds and ugliness. So anyway, he blessed me with that. So God always had a special place. Women are always part of the plan of God's garden. And you know, when you read that, God said, I will make him a helper. You know, okay, I was a school teacher for many years. And in kindergarten, I needed helpers. Like, well, who's the most mature, responsible kid here? You help me. You're my helper, right? And, you know, but that's how we think of it, maybe a helper. But how God intended it, that's not really what it means. Because the word azar, help, is actually, if you look in the Bible, 15 out of 19 times, it's the same word used for God. In fact, the Holy Spirit, which totally explains some things here, right? And the word is not a subordinate word. It actually means a corresponding counterpart, face-to-face equal, suitable companion. Wow, that's awesome, isn't it? And, you know, if you look in the King James, it says help meet. And the second part, meet means neged. And that means the corresponding side of a riverbank, strength and a boundary. So isn't that cool? Because it's the corresponding side of God. It's a corresponding side of man. So you say, which side of the riverbank is stronger? They're both strong. They're corresponding, right? So you can see what a beautiful word that helper is. In fact, John 14, 26 says this, but the helper, the Holy Spirit, whom my Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Same word for helper. Beautiful. So as two individuals defined in the image of God's and likeness, together they were to commanded creation cooperatively. And so you can see that. It was equality in God's sight from the beginning. And she was a total, entire, separate being, but she was a helper comparable or equal to her mate. And you know, I like to tell this joke sometimes when God made man, and you know, he was the prototype, right? I mean, he made man, and then then he looked at it, he said, you know, I think I can do better. Right? That's just a joke. Come on. You know that. She was derived from but not inferior to Adam. In fact, I think it was an upgrade, right? Come on. All right, so women were created to be co-regents to rule with man. And that's so beautiful. And you know what? If you go back to the beginning again, Book of Origins, marriage formula, let's look at this. One man plus one woman equals one flesh. You know, that's how God designed it, right? God's design was for this man and woman to labor side by side, working together to accomplish the eternal purposes of God. So yes, there is gender confusion in culture, but not in the Bible and not among you, right? All right, good. Glad we cleared that up. They were given a fivefold commission, and part of that was to both male and female, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion. From the beginning, they were to do that together. And, you know, that word Eden, I want to look at it just for a second because it's so amazing. It was called a well-watered place. And this was luxurious. It was bursting with blooming, dense, flourishing, productive, fertile, everything that you can imagine about the most beautiful, exuberant, teeming with life and beauty. That's how the garden was. So beautiful. So today, and then in Genesis 3:20, Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. Isn't that beautiful? So there you see mother right there in Genesis. And today we're going to look at the manifold. That word manifold means actually multicolor aspects to God's garden. And you know what? You have to start first with the right soil, a diversity of seeds. You have to water and tend them so that they bear fruit and grow in beauty and strength. And that's what God wants to do in the heart. So let's look at seeds of the garden. In Psalm 127, verse 3, it says this, "Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward." Moms, remember that daily. These children are my reward. Dads, too. They are a blessing. Sometimes they're difficult, but they're a blessing, right? Now, when you think about seeds in a garden, you know, think about this for a moment. You can take an apple and you can count the number of seeds in it, but with one seed, you can't count the number of apples in that seed, right? True? So seeds have so much potential when they're planted. And mothers, you sow thousands of seeds each year into your children, and each seed has an ability to multiply and grow. Isn't that amazing? Now, what are some of these seeds? Seeds of faith, probably the most important seed. And I think mom's greatest role is to sow seeds of faith for spiritual development of her children. And, you know, the Bible, the Word of God, is actually called the incorruptible seed. I love that. That means it won't corrupt, it won't diminish, it's eternal. 1 Peter 1:23 says this, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives forever." Lives forever. So when you plant those seeds, they are eternal. And looking in the Bible too, this is beautiful. 2 Timothy 1:5, it talks about faith being transmitted. And let's look at that. "Let's call to remembrance the genuine faith that was in you, that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, then your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded dwells in you also." So Timothy had a legacy. He was, you know, Paul's disciple. But guess what? He was trained and discipled first by his grandmother, then by his mother. Isn't that beautiful? So that's what caused him to be such a spiritual giant. And they often say their ceiling becomes his floor. You know, look at Timothy. So, and from youth, actually from childhood, it says that they taught him the Holy Scriptures. That from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise through salvation in Jesus Christ. So look at this transmission of faith from one generation to the next, planting that seed. And you know, it's really super important, even in those teenage years, because things can become very turbulent. And it's really important that those seeds that their parents have sown are in the child and they remember. Next are seeds of hope. And I like that. And I like to see hope as potential in the child. There used to be the song, a children's song that goes, I am a promise, I am a possibility, right? And so with a variety of gifts and talents and calling and potential locked up in a seed form in each child. So you might say, well, it's not manifesting. Well, it's because it's only in a seed form right now. You have to nurture that seed, right? To see the full potential to come forth. So seeds of hope, potential, promise. And I believe that moms are awesome at that. And they're able to speak prophetic promises locked up in their children. They're able to pray the promises for those seeds to just germinate. So moms can see potential and speak life and hope into their kids, probably unlike anyone else. So let's encourage you to do that. I love this quote. Youth fades, love droops, the leaves of friendship fall, but a mother's secret hope outlives them all. Isn't that beautiful? That's by Oliver Wendell Holmes. So that hope eternal springs forth. Even Mary in the Bible, she was given prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. And in Luke 2:51, she literally treasured those in her heart. She kept the prophetic promises in her heart about Jesus Christ. And that's what moms do. And mother, your wise words impact your children so much. Proverbs 31:26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. And you have part of that. You know what? It talks about speaking words of edification. What does edification mean? It means to build up, right? But in Proverbs 14:1, it says this. It says, the wise woman builds her house, but the foolish one pulls it down with her own hands. Well, you might say, I'm not destroying my house, but be careful that your words don't destroy your house and the potential in those seeds, right? So we want to speak words of encouragement and hope and life instead of discouragement. The next are seeds of love, loving kindness. And a mother's love can never be underestimated. It was once said, no language can express the power, the beauty, and the heroism of a mother's love. I think that's true. In Titus 2:4, it says this, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children. You know, we need to encourage each other. And it actually says older women teach the younger. But we need to encourage young women to love their husbands and to love their children. You know, that's really the best gift you can give to your children, is to have a healthy, happy marriage. And then they grow up in the security of that. And dads, the best thing that you can do for your children is to love your wife. And you know what? Let that be your highest pursuit. Mothers and fathers, love each other. And then, you know, love your children, of course. But they're going to have that security in their home when they see your parents loving each other. When Mother Teresa received her Nobel Peace Prize, I mean, think about how few of people receive those. Only very notable people. She was a missionary in Calcutta, India. And when she was asked, I mean, let's ask this woman about world peace because she received the gift. What do we do, or what can we do to promote world peace? And her answer was, go home and love your family. I want you to think about that. What type of reformation would happen in this country if every family loved each other and made it a pursuit? It would change America. It would change the world. And I'm not saying that you don't, but I'm just saying, think of how happy, healthy, loving families really preach the gospel and are very attractive. And you know what? It just allows children to grow up in that atmosphere. Seeds of honor. This is important. You know, honor doesn't necessarily come automatically. Children don't naturally know how to do that necessarily. We have to teach our children honor and to live honorably. We have to teach them. And children who never learn the value and virtue of honor will always have a problem submitting to authority and being respectful. You know what I'm saying? So parents, it's our job to teach our children to honor and obey. In Ephesians 6, 1 through 3, it says this, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may be well with you and that you will live long on the earth." I like that, right? You want them to live long, and so you teach them that. You know, it's important while the children are in the household, you know, younger children under 18, that they need to obey their parents. You know, there's kind of a natural spirit of rebellion in the world, but we need to teach our kids to obey us, right? And it comes from the heart. Honor comes from the heart. And so as you become an adult, you're no longer under your parents' care, so you're no longer required to obey them. However, you have the responsibility for a lifetime to honor them. For a lifetime. That doesn't stop just because you're not under their roof. And, you know, I love my parents. My father passed away, but my mom is still alive. I've always made a point to honor my parents. I do honor my parents. And you know, birthdays, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Christmas, whatever the holiday. You know, and she's long distance, so it's a little bit harder. But I will make a point even to fly to see her because I honor my mom and dad. And this is really kind of cool. This when my mom was raising us kids, nine of us, right? And so we were 11 in the family. That was a pretty big family. Daniel had 10. We had, and we had two parents, so he had, 12. We had 11. But anyway, my mom would journal about every single child, all nine. She kept journals on each one of them. And then when it was my parents' 50th anniversary, we each wrote, all nine children wrote a tribute to my mom and dad. And, you know, and how many people have said, oh, I just need to write a book? Have you said that, or have you said that about someone in your life? You just need to write a book. Come on, there's more of you. You're come on. I know there's writers in here. Well, the amazing thing is my sister took all those journals from each child in their early adventures, their antics, and some of it is absolutely hilarious, and took it and then printed it and all the tributes from the children. So it says, Mom's Precious Memory. So she collected it and wrote a book and let my mom be the author. Is that awesome? Just to honor her. And then she gave each one for Christmas, that gift, and I thought, what a way to memorialize those memories, keep that legacy of family strong. And you can get creative on how you honor your parents, but just do it, right? It's important. So you have seeds. You can have seeds, but not plant them. So we need to plant seeds, right, in the garden. So being planted. Psalm 92, verses 12 through 13 says this, "The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, and he shall grow in Lebanon. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God." I like that. So my mom made sure after we were saved that we were planted in a spirit-filled church. We got ourselves planted. We were there each week, you know, so we could grow and learn and get discipled. So to be fruitful and prosperous, you need to be planted, right? I often say, if you're rootless, you'll be fruitless. You can't grow fruit if you have no root, so get yourself planted. We choose our soil types, our heart. At least that's what the parable of the sower and the seed says. Matthew 13, 3 through 10. "When he spoke many things in parables, behold, a sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seed by the wayside, and the birds devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, but had no depth of earth. But the sun was up, and they scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, choked them, but others fell on good soil, and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear." Okay, so let's look at this parable. And when they're talking about the soil, they're talking about your heart, actually. So the seed on the road. Now, this is a seed that just got scattered out there, but never actually planted. And moms are so good at helping us gain understanding and teaching. And we need to listen. We need to understand. We need to heed the wisdom that they carry, right? So you don't want to be like the seed on the ground that just gets snatched up by the birds and nothing becomes of it. Seed on stony soil. Now, this is the one that receives it. Here's the word, immediately receives it with joy, but has no root, only endures for a little while, but when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, they stumble. Now, this is important because, you know, everyone will have trials and tribulations sometime in their life, but I love the fact that moms really help us even going through those trials and tribulations. They become such an anchor to us, right? During those hard times when you want to give up, moms help encourage you. And then a seed in thorny soil. This is one, a seed that's, here's the word, but the cares of this world, deceitfulness of riches, choke the word and it becomes unfruitful. So worrying about things, wanting more things, choke the word, anxiety. And Daniel did a beautiful job talking about anxiety and just getting victory over that. And you know, moms have a beautiful way of seeing the best in the future, right? Moms have a way of bringing peace to uncertainty in things to come. How many times I remember my mom says, everything's going to be okay. It's all going to work out. And she might have had any answers, but she would just give me that hope and I would feel better. And it's like speaking hope into the future. So moms, you have a beautiful way to do that. And I encourage you to speak that and bring that peace. You know, let not your hearts be troubled, right? The good soil, 100-fold. This speaks of fruitful living. And how do you get to be fruitful in your living? Well, the first thing, if you have that cultivating God's garden, is soaking the soil. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in seasons. The leaves also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. Now, some plants do not do well in dry places, right? Now, we're in Southern California, and yes, succulents do amazing everywhere. they're not the you know, the rule there. But anyway, but most plants need a lot of water, right? Water brings life. That was like our yard. We finally started like turning on our hose, and all of a sudden these roses went psh, you know, just shot up out of nowhere. I said, Daniel, why are these growing so good? He said, because those, they just were dying for water, right? And you know what? The word of God is water to our souls. And when we water, you know, right? And God's kids need water. We need water. So much of life is made of water. Isaiah 44:3 says this, and I will pour water on him who is thirsty and on the floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. What a great promise. And you know what? You need to soak the soil. Otherwise, you'll stunt the growth. And I definitely saw that effect in my yard. So then we need to pray for rain. Look at this scripture, Deuteronomy 32:2. Let my teaching drop as rain, and my speech distill as dew, as rain drops on the tender herb and showers on the grass. Your teaching, mom, become like rain to your child on those tender little plants, right? And like dew. Isaiah 55:10-11, as rain comes down and snow from heaven, and they do not return there, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, and they give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So my word shall go forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing I send it to. So mom, as you are speaking the word of God over your children, over your family, over your marriage, you are watering it with the word of God, and it will not return empty or void. Come on, speak the word. Make those declarations. God is watching over his word to perform it. You got to give him something to work with, to water that, right? Isaiah 58:11. The Lord shall continually guide you and satisfy your soul in drought, strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. I love that. Now, in addition to watering, they need to tend and nurture the garden. And children are so much like gardens. They require tending and nurturing as well. And, you know, when I taught school, I often taught kindergarten. That was one of my favorite grades. I taught it on purpose because I loved the little kids. I loved being their first teacher. And the word kindergarten, it's a German word. It actually means garden of children. Literally means. So just a little garden of children, right? And they require the nurture and to train for their growth. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Sow those seeds. Yes, sometimes kids go prodigal for a season, but the prodigal came back, right? It was just a season. And he came back around because he knew the love of the Father. He knew he had a home with love, had been taught properly. Isaiah 54:13, great promise to believe. All your children shall be taught by the Lord, and great shall be the peace and composure of your children. Is that a great verse to claim? I love that. So mom, you are the one that's going to speak, and dads as well, of course, and offer encouragement and to inspire your kids to do great things, to bring out the greatness in them. I love this quote. It says, only God himself fully appreciates the influence of a Christian mother in the molding the character of her children. That was by Billy Graham. I think the guy knew something about what he was talking about, right? And I asked advice from my own mom because I figured she's pretty much an expert on this. She had 9 kids, I mean, at least from my standpoint. And what was her answer? And her very most favorite scripture was, love never fails, 1 Corinthians 13:13. She loved all of 1 Corinthians 13, but especially love. And that was her motto. So love them forever because love never fails. Never give up. Always have hope. Faith in their future, right? Now abide these, faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest is love, and it is, and it has such an impact. So gardens produce beauty and fruitfulness. Psalm 128:3 says this, your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house, and your children as olive plants around your table. Moms, you bring beauty to your home. You're just like that vase of fresh flowers on your table. And I love this quote. It says, Mama was my greatest teacher, a teacher of compassion, love, and fearlessness. If love is sweet as a flower, then my mother is that sweet flower of love. And that was by Stevie Wonder. Look what he accomplished. Proverbs 31. And we shared this scripture yesterday at the tea. If you were able to be there, it was amazing. It was so beautiful. Gailey did an awesome job. It says, who can find a virtuous woman? Her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. She will have no lack of gain. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. She watches over her ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her own works praise her in the gates. Isn't that gorgeous? So beautiful. The fruit of her hands. And the children and the husband bless her. Husbands, honor your wives, bless your wives. And kids, bless your moms as well. So we're called to be fruitful, as Colossians 1:10 says, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And George Washington said this, the father of our country, he actually honored his own mom by saying, I attribute all of my success in life, all of his success in life, to the moral, intellectual, and physical education I received from her, his mom. Great, great tribute to his mom. Isaiah 53 says this, 51 verse 3. The Lord will comfort Zion. He will comfort her waste places. He will make her wilderness like Eden. That's where we began, Garden of Delight. And her desert like a garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in it. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. You know, Mom, no one has more potential for a godly influence on a child than a child's God-fearing mother. Moms, you have such an amazing impact. You're so valued and you're so appreciated. And you know, I know the Bible says, do not get weary in well-doing. It's sometimes tiring to be a mom. It's always often tiring because it's 24/7, right? You don't get to take a vacation from being a mom, but the impact you have is eternal. And this morning, we just want to thank you, moms everywhere, and women. And let's appreciate each other, value them, honor them today and always, okay? So let's go ahead and close. Would you stand with me? You know, this morning, I don't know if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. I hope that you do. And if you came today, maybe perhaps just to support your mom, I know nothing would make your mom happier, right, than for you to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. What a gift you can give your anybody, Heavenly Father, but also your earthly parents as well. So let's close our eyes, please. And if you have never made Jesus Christ Lord of your life, I encourage you to do it today. And I'll just go ahead and lead you in prayers. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for each one today. I just bless their lives. I thank you that their lives are an accumulation of so much, of so many seeds that have been planted, so much potential, so much hope. And I just bless what you're doing in their lives as parents, as mothers, as fathers, as students, as children, as everything in between. I just bless them and I thank you for them. And I'm going to go ahead and lead in a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross for my sins. I repent and say I'm sorry for the things that I've done that offended you, God. And Jesus, I ask you to come into my life, wash my sins away, and be my Lord and Savior. I surrender to your great love today. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord praise for that?
Wow, that was awesome. That was beautiful, wonderful, good word. Hey, listen, I just want to bless you. Just a heads up, we're going to move into another series that's coming up for the weeks coming on just talking about the Spirit and truth. And we know how important the Word of God is, and we know how important the Holy Spirit is. And we're going to talk about that, how to hear God, talk about the relationship, even with the Word and the Spirit, and what that dynamic is in the new covenant that we live in. So I'm looking forward to these upcoming weeks. Wasn't that wonderful? Can we just give it up? Wasn't that beautiful? So awesome. I fell in love again as I was sitting there, but it's a great, great, great preacher of the Word. Thank you, Father, and I bless each life. I thank you, God, we just bless you for what you've done, the seeds that are in us, and even that encouragement to cultivate that love in our families and in our lives and in relationships, and especially on this day, we just bless you. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.